All right, well, good morning. It's kind of interesting that because of everything being out of the ordinary last week, with Andrew being here and preaching and everything, Aaron and I both kind of ended up starting out this morning along the lines of New Year's. But I did want to touch on this coming year and our goals, our purpose, and not in the way of, you know, setting a quote-unquote New Year's resolution, but rather setting some goals, setting some things for ourselves personally in our own lives as a goal, as a purpose, as a marker point that we're shooting towards. I try to take personally either around my birthday or around the beginning of the year. They're not that far apart. So usually one or the other, I try to take a little bit of time and just kind of look at my year in review, the past year, and kind of evaluate, self-check, and say, hey, where am I at? What am I, you know, how am I growing and advancing and maturing since last year? And then after I've gone through and looked at that, then all right, what's my point, what my purpose, my goal, my drive for this coming year? And there's a passage here that's been really sticking with me the last week or two here. And so this morning I'm more or less going to be preaching as much to myself as to anybody else, because this is kind of what's been sticking in my mind and the things that the Lord's been challenging me with this morning, or this, not this morning, but this last couple of weeks. So let's open with a word of prayer. Father, I thank you for your presence here with us, Lord. If your presence was not here with us, it wouldn't be worth being here. But Lord, I thank you that you have promised that where two or three are gathered in your name, that you are in their midst. And Lord, this morning we're gathered here for no other purpose than for your name and your goodness and who you are. Father, I pray that that would be true of each one of us, that we have no other purpose or reason or desire for being here. Father, I pray this morning as we open up your word that you would feed us, that you would instruct us and teach us. And Lord, even in things where you know, it's not necessarily new information, that you would challenge us and call us back again one more time to setting our goals, setting our purposes, and committing within our own hearts and our own minds that we will strive towards those things. Lord, I pray you would bless the reading of your word and bless our time together around it. In Jesus' name, amen. Open with me, if you will, to John chapter 15. John chapter 15. And this is really my, not my New Year's resolution, but my purpose, my drive that I have kind of taken for myself for this year as a goal, as a mark to shoot for. In John chapter 15, we're going to start reading with verse 1. Jesus speaking here to his disciples right before going to the cross. If you think of this as more or less, you know, an extended version of his last words, this is what he wanted to leave them with before he went to the cross, and they were going to face very much discouragement and heartache and heartbroken and confusion and distress and all kinds of things, thinking that their master had been murdered and killed and was gone and that this was over. But this was more or less his final words to them before going to the cross. And he says here in John chapter 15, he says, I am the true vine. Now, we all know Jesus said, I am the way. And here again, he says, I am the true vine. There's other options out there. They're not true. You can get planted into them. You can get some sap flowing into you. It's going to be fake. It's going to be tend toward and lead toward death. It's not going to really produce spiritual life. I am the true vine. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, or prunes it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I'll pause for just a minute here. Abide in me, and I in you. Abide. What does abide mean? Well, it's used, yeah, live. It's used in a lot of different ways, but it usually talks about your place of residence. Stay there. Stay there. Remain. Don't depart. Continue. This is an active thing. It's not just a, you know, exist there. It's not just like this is where you should park yourself on the couch and sit back and enjoy life. It's an active continue. Stay. Remain. Do life in this space. This is where you plant down your roots. And you don't just fall asleep, but you put down roots and you grow and you stay here. Stay connected to me. Abide in me and I in you. It's always used. It's used over 105 verses in the Bible, in the New Testament. This Greek word is used, and it's always used in an active sense. It's always an active stay, abide, continue, endure. These are all words it's been translated as. It's an active remaining. I love the one definition I came across in Strong's that really summed it up for me was to continue to be present. Not just physically present, but stay current. To continue staying current with Christ. Stay present. Don't, you know, it's easy in relationships after you've been in a relationship for a while and things have gotten comfortable, it's easy to kind of just put it in neutral and glaze out. And you're not staying current in that relationship. You're not staying present. You might be sitting there, you know, sometimes, and I think it happens to all of us, that we might be sitting there, you know, reading or just chilling out, and our wife or our husband says something, and all of a sudden we go, what? I didn't catch that. I was totally not even here. Stay present. Stay current in your relationship with Christ. He says, abide in me and I in you. This reminds me very much of how Paul says, I've grabbed hold of him for the same purpose as he grabbed hold of me. I'm not expecting, obviously my strength is not sufficient, but I'm putting all of it in there anyway. It's not going to happen if his strength doesn't lay hold of me, but it's also not going to happen if my strength isn't laying hold of him. So he says, abide in me and I in you. It's a two-way connection here. We have to be communing with him and him communing with us. It has to be, we have to be giving ourselves, our love, our admiration, our requests, our trials, our struggles to him, and he gives us his grace and his peace and his strength and his courage and his help, his life So he says, abide, remain, but actively, currently, stay present, stay active. Don't get lazy in this relationship. Stay current. This is a daily moment active thing. Abide. Abide in me and I in you. What's the alternative? You're going to die. You're going to die. A branch that gets separated from its tree dies. It shrivels up. It withers. It dies. If you've ever found yourself, and I'm sure if you've walked with the Lord for any period of time, you've found yourself at some point along the way getting distanced from your Savior, from the branch, from the trunk, and you've started to shrivel up and dry out spiritually. He says here, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye. No more can ye. You're not going to figure it out. The branch can't figure it out. You can't figure it out. No more can ye except ye abide in me. You and I don't have any life force in ourselves. Humanism tells you, look within, dig deep inside. It's all inside of you. You just have to dig deeper. That is the ideology that the world around us preaches every single day. Just dig deeper inside. It's all in there. You're all you need. You just have to learn how to unlock it and dig deep and find it, right? No, wrong. You cannot. He says, just like that branch cut off from the tree, from the vine, it will not produce fruit. It cannot produce fruit. Neither can you except you abide in me. How long is an astronaut going to survive in space if his tether to the spaceship gets disconnected? Not very long. He's going to start feeling it very quickly, right? When an astronaut goes out into space, he typically only takes with him however much oxygen and fuel in his suit for the little thrusters that he needs to do the job he's going outside of the spaceship to do, and not really any excess. There's no reason to take any excess. You're just going to be hauling around extra weight. You can't possibly haul enough on your body to survive in space for very long. So you take what you need. You've got that tether fastened to the spaceship. If that tether comes undone, they better be able to reach out and grab you with an electronic arm or, fire up some thrusters and move over that direction or something, or you're gone. You've got a very short period of time before you're going to strangle to death in your own suit. That is the same thing as the vine, as the branch will do when it comes disconnected from the vine. How long is a saw going to run if you unplug it from the wall? It's dead. It's going to have a little bit of perpetual motion for just a couple of seconds. And then it's done. You cannot bear fruit. You cannot survive spiritually, except you abide in me. Abide in me, and I in you. He says here, verse 5, he says, I am the vine. Ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. Now, he just said back in verse 2 or 3 that if you're connected to the vine, then the Father's desire as the husbandman is that he's going to want to begin to prune and to trim so that you'll bear more fruit. If you're connected to the vine, you're going to begin to bear fruit. But the Father's desire for every branch is that it would produce not just fruit, but more fruit. more fruit. And here he says again, he says, he that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. So this is a progressive growing thing. You've got those that don't produce any fruit. They're not connected to the vine. They're going to get cut off. Those then who are connected to the vine, he says, they're going to produce fruit. You cannot have life force, supernatural force of a holy, creative, almighty God flowing through you and not begin to produce some fruit. It's not going to happen. You look at a life, Kenton and I were talking last night, and you know, when a person gets saved fresh and new, if they came from a place of a lot of ignorance, there might be a lot of stumbling around and a lot of, you know, confusion and not really understanding things or knowing things for a certain period of time. But at some point along the way, that excuse runs out. Because if you're really connected to the vine, you're really connected to a living, holy, righteous, omnipotent, all-powerful God, there's going to be growth that begins to happen. You're going to begin to produce fruit. Now, it's a process. It's going to take some time. You're not going to be there today. You're not going to be there tomorrow. Dad, are you there how many years now later? I mean, it's going to take time. You're going to grow. You're going to progress. If you remain faithful, it's going to continue to grow and to continue to progress. But you're going to begin to show some fruit if you're plugged into the vine. It's inevitable. Otherwise, you're not plugged into the vine. You can't have energy flowing in constantly without it having some physical output and outflow. Sap doesn't flow into a branch and it continue to just be a brown, dry twig. If the sap is flowing in, it's going to start to bud. It's going to start to shoot out little green leaves. Certain plants take more time than others. But it's going to begin to produce something. When it begins to produce something, the Father, as a husbandman, as a good husbandman, the holy, righteous, all-knowing Father who loves us and does not give us more than we can handle, comes along and begins to trim and cut and prune so that we can produce more fruit. Because he's not interested in simply having some green leaves. That's good. That's great. That's life. That's awesome. But Jesus didn't just come to bring us life. He said, I came to bring you life and life more abundantly. It's supposed to be increasing and growing and becoming more and more and more through the infinite, eternal, uncontainable God who we claim we're now plugged into, right? So if we actually are, we're going to begin to produce some fruit. Don't be surprised when you begin to produce some fruit and the Father comes along and begins to prune. That's expected. They that will live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. You're going to have pruning. You're going to have hardship. You're going to have struggles. That's great, because that means the Father sees fruit beginning and he wants to see more fruit. So if you're not getting pruned, start looking around and go, am I producing fruit? Am I connected to the vine? Did I get disconnected? Am I floating out here withering? I'm not being pruned. I'm not being challenged. I'm not growing. I'm not becoming more through the power of God, obviously not through me, but I'm not being challenged. I'm not being pruned. I'm not being trimmed. That's something to check out. Look into it. Because you're supposed to be being pruned. Because the Father is interested in the plants that are alive producing fruit. And the plants that are producing fruit, producing more fruit. And the plants that are producing more fruit, producing much fruit. His purpose is that you and I continue to grow and to progress. He says here, he that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. That will be the outcome in yours and my life if we are staying current with Christ. We will produce fruit. Now that fruit isn't for us to go, oh, look at this fruit that I produced. We read in other parts of Scripture that the fruit is for the use of the husbandman. The fruit is for the use of the one who owns the vine. You're not, the vine doesn't produce fruit so it can sit and gloat about its fruit. It doesn't produce fruit so it can eat that fruit. It produces fruit to be picked by the one who planted it and who tended it and who pruned it. So any fruit that we produce is for his glory. But his desire is that we would not just produce fruit, but more fruit, and much fruit, and much more fruit. Let's pick up in the middle of verse 5 again here. He says, he that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. Nothing. How much can a branch do that's chopped off from a tree? Nothing. Nothing. You're not gonna kind of halfway fake it. You might convince people around you that you're okay for a while, but you're not going to accomplish any spiritual life at all without the branch, without the vine. You can't self-generate it. We're not the kind of branch that can fall off and send down some roots and start growing our own whole new tree. That's not the kind of branch we are. People try that, and guess what? They get withered up. Without me, you can do nothing. Verse 6, he says, if a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. You shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. If you're abiding in me, if you're plugged into me, and I'm plugged into you, Christ Jesus says, and there's a flow of life, then the obvious assumption here is that the things that you're asking are going to be in line with that connection. And you will have the things that you ask for because they will be according to the will of the Father. He says in verse 8, he says, herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. That's the goal. That's the desire. The Father's going to keep pruning and trimming and working on you and on me patiently, carefully, continuously, with much wisdom and grace and mercy and patience. As long as we're connected to that vine, he's going to keep working towards that goal of producing much fruit. He says, herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. This is how it's going to be clear both to you, to the Lord, to the husbandman, to the folks around you, that you are his disciples if you're bearing fruit. So shall you be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Wow! Wow! Not as you've loved me, not as you've loved each other, not as the most loving mother has ever loved her child, but as the Father, God Almighty, has loved his only begotten Son to that same extent and in that same way, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. It's interesting, this is the same Greek word as the word abide, continue. This is the same word, abide ye, continue ye in my love. Stay current, stay active in my love. How can I stay in his love? If he loves me, he loves me, right? But if that connection is living and vibrant and daily nurtured, then I will stay current and continue and abide in his love. Does his love change for me? No. But my receiving of it is going to depend on how well I'm plugged in to the only source that it can possibly flow through. Continue ye in my love. Verse 10, he says, if ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love. Here he's getting practical. He's saying, hey, you want to know, you know, not just this big, you know, concept that you can't grab hold of, well, just stay plugged in. Great, how do I do that? Okay, here you go. If you keep my commandments, if you obey me, if you follow me, if you live life the way I say that a person ought to live life, if you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love. That's the practical, nitty-gritty. This is how you do it. You want to know how to abide in God's love? Keep his commandments. Obey them. Guard them. Know them. Love them. Hide them in your heart that you might not sin against him. Keep his commandments. You shall abide in my love. Even in the same way as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. I'm not asking you to do something crazy and out of the ordinary. I'm asking you to continue this chain. The same thing that I've done. My Father planted me as the vine. I keep his commandments. I draw strength and life from him. I put it into you. Now you keep that connection and you continue to follow my commandments, and that life will continue to grow and to flow out through this branch now. These things have I spoken unto you, that your joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full. Again, that word remain, same word. Same word. Abide. Abide. It's the same Greek word. He says, I want this, the purpose of this, these things, the whole reason I'm telling you this is because I want you to be able to continue to be full of the supernatural joy that can only come through me. I want you to continue to be full of this life, this peace that passes on all understanding, that everybody shakes their head and goes, I don't know why he's always so peaceful. I don't understand it. It passes understanding. It's more than can be comprehended. He says, these things, this is the purpose I'm telling you this, so that your joy might remain in you. So it abides, active, continuing. Not just, I've got joy, I've got a certain amount, I've got a make this stretch through the rest of my life, but it's a continuing active thing. If you stay current with Christ, he says, this is the purpose, that your joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full or complete. If you and I find ourselves drying up discouraged, depressed, down, dragging through the dirt. Check and see if you're plugged in. Your joy can't remain in you, and it can't remain full if you're not getting it topped off regularly. Even if it wasn't running out to people around you as it's supposed to be, because we're supposed to be channels of His goodness and His joy and His blessing, just evaporation's going to take some off the top. Just the heat and the stress of life is going to make it not full. These things I've spoken to you because this is my desire, that your joy might remain in you and your joy might be full. Abide in me. Abide in me and I in you. There's another meaning here to this word, and that is not changing from what you ought to be to something else. Continuing steadfast, enduring, continuing strong, firm, remaining, abiding, steadfast. That's why place where he's speaking about the armor of God, he said, the very first thing he says is, stand, therefore. Stand, therefore. Don't be moved. Don't be like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. Don't be like the chaff that the wind drives away. Stand firm. How can you do that? Only way a branch can keep from being blown across the yard when the wind comes is if it's connected to the tree. That's the only way. Otherwise, it will be blown across the yard if it's a strong enough wind. It'll be crashed into the fence or blown off into the deep water or wherever. That branch cannot stay on its own. So, part of the meaning of this word is not changing from what you should be into something else. And not just that doesn't just mean not changing into something bad, but also not changing into something less glorifying to God. Many times the strongest enemies to the best that God wants for me is not bad, it's just not as good. It's just not the best. It's good things, it's just not the best things. When we were visiting back in the States from time to time when we were on the mission field, something that stuck out to me more than anything else, you and I both know nobody is perfect. No person is perfect. No church is perfect. We're all built and made up of flawed human beings, right? The one thing that always stuck out to me in visiting churches was faithfulness. If I go away to the mission field for 2 years and I come back, how much different is the atmosphere of the church now from what it was 2 years ago? And I am sorry to say that most of the time we tend downward. And if we're there 1 year and 2 years later somebody comes back to visit, it's probably a little less lively, less connected, less spirit-empowered, less full of life than it was before, right? We're not staying current and present in our walk with Christ. This joy, this life, is supposed to not just stay there, not just while we're maintaining, but remain full, overflowing. Let's turn over to 1 John chapter 2, verse 3 through 6. This is another practical nitty-gritty, how we work this out. This is not just a theoretical thing. 1 John chapter 2, verse 3 through 6, he says, "Hereby we do know that we know him." You know that you know that you know. Here's how you can know: if you keep his commandments. It's simple. It's basic. It's not easy. I'm not saying it's easy, but it's basic. Hereby we know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. He that saith, "I know him," and keepeth not his commandments, he is a liar, and the truth is not in him. If you're not producing fruit, you're not connected to the branch. Verse 5, "But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected." Perfected. "Hereby know we that we are in him. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked." You're not going to be perfect, but when somebody looks at your life, are they going to take account of you that you've been with Jesus? As the Pharisees did when they were interrogating the apostles there in Jerusalem. These men were unlearned. They didn't know anything. They weren't wise. But they looked at their life. They looked at the way they were living. They looked at their attitudes. They looked at the fruit that was growing on these branches. And they said, they have been with Jesus. They have life flowing through them that looks familiar. Where did I see that before? Oh, that's right. The guy we killed and hung on a cross. They look like Jesus. They're acting like Jesus. They're responding like Jesus did. "He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked." It's practical. You don't have to wonder. You don't have to guess. You don't have to try to figure out how to attain some foggy ideological goal out there that, yeah, I want to be better at the end of this year than I was at the start of it. Great. What does that look like? How do I get there? Keep his commandments and walk as he walked. Follow him. Stay connected. Abide in him. I want to turn to one more spot just later on in this same chapter. 1 John chapter 2, verse 24 through 28. And notice the word abide throughout this passage. "Let that therefore abide in you." Continue, current, active. "Let that therefore abide in you, which you have heard from the beginning." Don't get confused with new stuff coming along. Don't get distracted by the waves, Peter, or the wind. "Let that therefore continue, abide, root, grow in you, which you have heard from the beginning. If that which you have heard from the beginning shall remain," same word, "remain in you, ye shall continue," again, same word, "abide, in the Son and in the Father." If he abides in us, we will abide in him. If his word abides in me, I will abide in him. And this, verse 25, "and this is the promise that he hath promised us, even eternal life. These things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you, but the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you. And ye need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in him. And now, little children, in case you missed it, abide in him. That when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. Wouldn't that be the most sad, miserable state to find yourself in? Abide in him, little children. He's coming down now and like getting down on one knee and beseeching them. Little children, abide in him. Abide in him. Stay in him. Live there. Put down roots there. Continue there. Hang on. Take hold of him for the same thing he's taken hold of you for. Hang on. Stay connected. Stay active. Stay current. Abide in him. That when he shall appear, we may have confidence. You don't have to go, well, I hope everything's good with me in Christ. I hope everything's good with me in God. You can have confidence. Have confidence. Yes, I love the Lord. He loves me. I live in him. He lives in me. There's a life-giving flow. There's a connection. I have confidence. Yes. When he appears, I'm going to be with him. I'm ready. Little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. Abide in him. Let's pray. Father, our good husbandman, Lord, we come before you as humbly as we can, as humbly as we know how to, asking you, begging you to remind us of these things, to help us to stay current and active with Jesus Christ. Daily, hourly, minutely, momently. To stay plugged in, to stay connected, to abide. And that your word and your truth and your life would abide in us. So that we can truly be your disciples. Father, give us the grace to continue staying connected to your grace. Give us the strength to continue connected and current with your strength. In Jesus' precious name, amen.